clarification of we did on Sunday. And then after I finish talking, I'm going to stop the recording, and we're going to enter into our time of symphony of praise before the Lord, knowing that His purpose is to wash us tonight. All right. So now on Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we talked about it, it is prepared now to go on the website, and so I'll get it up tonight after this is over. It is ready to go. So if you didn't hear it, I do recommend, suggest that you do hear this word, and so that you can understand better what we're going over tonight. All right. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we talked about how the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write this letter to all of the churches from one generation to the next generation, all the way to the generation, all the way down to our generation. And we find that on Sunday, we were reading this letter in our church. This letter is addressing the problem at the Church of Corinth, which is also a problem that's in the Church of the Living God today, that there is, and I'll say this as plainly and as boldly as I can, there is amongst the children of God still the works of the law. The works of the law. We found out the works of the law back in that day, called the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue. It was called the 10 words. It was called a lot of things, but it was the law that was written for the people to understand God's standard of righteousness. The law, the Ten Commandments, and all the other laws too, of course, but we're going to focus on the Ten Commandments tonight. Those laws were written because it was a description of God's character of righteousness. It was also a requirement from God that His people would live up to His standards. So what we do know is that in and of our own self, it is impossible to do so. And so then there was another time later on during the time, God reminded, or He spoke to His people another promise. He said to them that, see, I have written my laws on stone at first. We understand He wrote it on stone at first. But then He said to a people, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to write my laws in their minds and in their hearts, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 31, I believe, verse 3. It's one of the places that is written that God made that promise. We understand that we are the people that live in that promise today. The laws of God written in our hearts and written in our minds, as we have received Him, the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit that we have inside of us, because we have faith in the righteous one. Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, is our righteousness. And so in Him, we are made the righteousness of God, given as a gift. We are righteous before God. Why? Because it's a gift. He made us righteous in Christ. See, in Christ, having written His laws in our hearts, we have regenerated heart, it's called. We were given a new nature when we came to faith in Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we today now live under the grace of God, in the economy of grace that we received when we gave our lives to Jesus, became a child of God. But I say to us tonight, children of God, that this letter was written because the same problem that was in the church back then, they were also children of God, had also received the Holy Spirit, and they also were being tempted to live by the law. And we too today, to our varying degrees, are being tempted to live by the law. We identify that law as the laws of do it yourself. See, back then, the Ten Commandments written on the stone, that people were left to their own selves to live it out. You got to get this right. You don't commit adultery. You don't do it. Yeah, they had to do that on their own. Don't serve other gods. See, it had to be an effort within themselves to not do it. And so today we understand that the living by the law is a definition for us. It's a description that represents the things that we do, that we try to do in and of ourselves. We named some of them on Sunday: self-knowing, self-producing, self-love, self-promotion. In whatever it is that we are trying to accomplish in and of ourselves, it's called the law of self. That's what I call it anyway. Law of self, the law of do it yourself. But we found out, though, that when we find ourselves in that area, and listen, we've been delivered from, I don't know if your list is as long as mine, but as we have been studying this thing and focusing on this thing and practice this thing, this understanding of our identity in Christ as children of God, I believe that just as I have been able to surrender a whole lot of the self-doing. I would love to be able to say I have surrendered all the self-doing. And before the Holy Spirit showed up and pointed to a particular area where I had not stopped, depending on myself, I would have said, oh yes, I'm completely dependent on God. Now I still say it by faith. I do. Oh, but he called me out, see. And I asked you all by the leading of the Holy Spirit in the after Sunday to sit down with the Lord, go and ask the Holy Spirit to call you out too. Where are those areas whereby you're still relying on self? We came up with a very subtle one because it's so practical. It seems right. It is so practical to believe that I need to love myself first. That's so practical. It makes sense, even. Self-love. But the Bible doesn't support anything called self-love. No, we are to love the Lord your God with all your might and all your heart and all your strength. That's whom we are to love. And we are to receive the love of God that is unconditional and unmatched. And as we receive the love of God and we're filled with the love of God, then now we have love to give. But it doesn't say anywhere to love yourself. It just doesn't say it. It says love your neighbor, yeah. And it does say love one another, yeah. And we found out in the Amplified on Sunday where the second greatest commandment, Jesus said, is love your neighbor as yourself. What Jesus was saying in the vernacular back in that day, what it really means is seek the best for others. That's what it means when it says love your neighbor as yourself. So there it is not. And I'm open for anyone to show me anywhere. I will retract my statement if you can show me anywhere in this Bible that tells us we are to love ourselves. Listen, the world has to love themselves. They don't know about God's love. But that is not for the children of God. So, and I bring that one out again because it's practical. It's subtle. We could slip into that really easy. It makes sense. But what we find out is to love yourself is selfish. Selfishness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us don't do that. Esteem another one higher than yourself. How can we do that? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, we have love to give. The overflow. God is our ability to love others. And we love out of the overflow that he's given to us. You take care of yourself. You can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself first. God never told you to take care of yourself. He said, look to him to take care of you. Because when we want to take care of ourselves, here again, we're looking at the law of do it yourself, and it only becomes selfishness. See, But it makes sense to the world. In the world, you better take care of yourself. You don't know to look to God to take care of you. You don't have anything else. But it is not for the children of God. It is an antithesis to our position in Christ. See, Romans chapter 8 brings that out very clearly. See, the law of do it yourself, I'll put it that way. The law of condemnation, that law, see, Romans chapter 8, I believe verse it was. Anyway, it does say that it is enmity against God. Meaning what? If you're going to operate in the law of do it yourself, there is no way possible you can operate in the laws of God. They don't integrate. They can't come together. They are against one another. See, and so we must be clear, and we must make sure that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to show us day by day anywhere that we are attempting to allow the residue of what's practical in the world to operate in our lives. And why is that? We found out that when we're operating in the law of self means that we're separated from God, and the whole definition of being separated from God is condemnation. That's the definition of condemnation. Let me put it this way. Separation from God causes the fruit of condemnation. And let me say this, condemnation has a feeling. I'm going to help you. Condemnation brings with it a fruit, and that fruit produces a feeling of being a sense of failure, maybe a heaviness, it's guilt sometimes, shame. There's a feeling that comes of I'm not enough, I can't do enough, I don't have enough. See, separation from God allows now condemnation to come in. And so it will help us to understand this about condemnation, that it has a feeling, because then we can identify where we are having that feeling. Then we can say, oh, Lord, I found this area here where I'm operating in the law of do it yourself, but I'm ready to surrender it to you. this condemnation, the Apostle Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he calls it the ministration of death. Death. Most of the time when the Bible speaks of death, it is talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death is the definition of being separated from God. So, brothers and sisters, anywhere where we have adopted the law of self to operate in our lives, we have in that area separated ourselves from God. Glory to God. So now let us take our focus off of us for a minute. And as we are now poised to minister to those who have been standing at the door, let's understand something. We can be very confident in this. Very confident in this. You may hear me say sometimes when I'm speaking to unbelievers or those that are not following Christ, you may hear me say sometimes, I'm not fooled. You can't fool me, I say. And we can have this confidence to be able to say to those whom we are ministering to, who are separated from God, living under the law of self, or just not believers, those that have walked away from the Lord, who are now spiritual because they don't want to be religious, whatever the category that they're standing in, if they're not submitted and surrendered into their identity in Christ Jesus, you can be sure of this. They are experiencing condemnation. There's no way around it. See? And so, yeah, put on the mask. We see, you can put on the mask, people, and you can have all the money, and you can have the best Entrepreneurship and your business is doing good, and you got real estate all over the place. I mean, we see them online all the time. They're being very successful. Oh, I got a homestead over here, and I got these businesses, and I got my own house, and I bought a mansion, and I got these kids, and I got these many degrees, and I've got this position. But I promise you this, they are experiencing condemnation. There's no way around it. Listen, all of those things don't have life to give. If you're separated from God, who is the source of life. Life, that's spiritual life. Of course, we're all alive, so it can't be talking about being alive. We are all alive, but it's the spiritual life called eternal life. If you don't have that, you do have condemnation. There's no way around it. So don't be fooled, and don't let them fool you. It doesn't matter who they are. It's the white people, the Spanish people, the English people, the Indian people, the Islam people, all the people. If they're without God, they are experiencing condemnation, and we can always speak to it with confidence to let them know life is in Christ Jesus, that eternal life, spiritual life in Christ Jesus. All glory to God. Now, we spoke about the liberty also, and I haven't read not one Bible verse. Okay, for the sake of making sure that we are church and we still saved, go with me to 2 Corinthians, verse 17 of chapter 3. I'm going to start with 14 in the King James Version. But their minds, who minds? Right now is talking about back in the day of Moses, the children of Israel back in the day of Moses, what it's talking about right now. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, watch this. Nevertheless, a sinner, unbeliever, nevertheless, child of God who walked away from the Lord, who not living a Christian life anymore. Nevertheless, you of the church hurt. You turned and walked away from God because religion wasn't working for you anymore. Nevertheless, you and I today are steeped in the understanding of faith and in the understanding of what it means to live in grace. You and I today, in whatever area that we're still living by self, nevertheless, when you shall turn to the Lord, see, it's when you turn to the Lord that the veil be taken away. We talked about that veil. That veil is the veil that self-effort causes to cover your heart towards the things of God. The Apostle Paul used a veil because of the veil that Moses used. I'm not going to go over that tonight. Now, 17. Now, the Lord is that spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. There is liberty. Liberty. Freedom. Freedom. Liberty means the freedom of generosity. That's what liberty here means. It means freedom of generosity. And we said on Sunday, freedom of generosity is just another way of saying the grace of God. That's what it means. You see, freedom, this liberty is a word that is set up for us to understand the economy of grace. What does that mean? Economy of grace. The economy is the structure, I'll say again, it's the structure that God uses to distribute his grace to his children. It's the economy of grace. In the liberty of the economy of grace. And we also understood on Sunday, and I'll say it again tonight for our understanding, that the liberty in that economy of grace, we have the freedom to live outside of legal restrictions and rules of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can be in this world and be a criminal. It doesn't mean that. But outside of legal restrictions, we use an example on Sunday. I'll use it again today, that when Jesus stood on that mountain with his disciples, and there were 5,000, there were more than 5,000 people there, and all they had was two fish and five loaves of bread. It was outside of legal restrictions and rules of life that Jesus was able to take that and then feed over 5,000 people. That's living outside of legal restrictions and rules of life. We can put it this way: living outside of the limitation of what the world can produce. You see, we live outside of that. We live outside of the regulations and the rules that are set in government. If God says we're going to do it another way. I used this example on Sunday. I'll use it again. If God says to you or I, and you and I, go get that land. And he says, go get that land. And we start asking questions. Well, okay, Lord, have you looked in my bank account? Lord, have you looked at my credit report? Lord, but you say, go get that land. Have you looked to see that that the legal restrictions here is you supposed to have good credit to go buy land. And don't you think you gotta have money to go get land? See, legal restrictions, rules of life mean everybody in life, you gotta have some money to purchase a land. See, but in this economy of grace, as God distributes his grace upon his children, if he tells you go get the land, then go get it. Because God is our ability. Do we understand this? The legal restrictions of the world don't always pertain to us. And I'll say this again. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't live a fiscally responsible life. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have a savings. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay your bills on time so that you have good credit. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean any of those things. But if by chance in your life, life has been lifing and you don't have those things, and God said, go get it, then get to moving. Because see, we're operating, you got to understand, in the economy of grace that will provide for you and I, the children of God, what God said we can have. Yes, they said what you had was terminal. Listen here, man, woman, girl, boy, you gotta die, they may tell you. Why? That's the legal restriction of how the body function in the world and what science says comes up. See, it's the legal restriction, but our God said, though. Oh, glory to God. By his stripe, we were healed. Outside of legal restrictions and the rules of life. The rules of life say you 90 years old, you should be decrepit by now. But we read this today in our call to worship, and God says you can flourish to the finish. Like Mom Swan has made very clear to us. Outside of legal restrictions and the rules of life. And this is why, brothers and sisters, that we want to be sure and be clear before the Lord. We said, Lord, I open my life and my heart and my intentions and my motivations to you. And if you find anywhere in me that I'm operating by self, I'm ready to lay it down, because I found a liberty that's in Christ that allows me to operate and to receive daily miracles, signs, and wonders. That's outside of legal restrictions and laws of life. We also found out that in this liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, it helps us to live a righteous life. See? Oh, yeah. Rules of life say, if you're going to hurt me, I'm coming for you. Rules of life say, if you're going to hurt my family, I'm coming for you. Because don't mess with mine, I got something for you. But see, in this economy of grace, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so he tells us, you forgive them and be good to them, because it heaps coals of fire on their head for the day of wrath that God shall come and vengeance be his own. My God, my God. See, that's in the economy of grace, where we don't stand to defend ourselves or to defend our own. Or we don't operate in that area, in that way anymore. How many? I've tried. Anybody else? Have you ever tried to defend yourself? I've tried. Now I could fight, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this. I've tried to defend myself by portraying myself as I'm mean, or I'm strong, and you mess with me, and a scowl on your face, and you can't even be who you really are when you're trying to defend yourself. See? Oh, but we can lay that down, because we are operating in the economy of grace, where God distributes his ability to us. It said that we are, like verse 18 says, being changed into the image of God day by day and moment by moment. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God, I said. Glory to God. And so we surrender our actions, our motivations, our intentions, our attitudes, our hurts, our dislikes, our preferences. We surrender it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, again, we're talking about being in Christ Jesus as we're growing up in the understanding and applying in our lives what it looks like to be in Christ, to have our being in him, to live in him and move in him. Because, brothers and sisters, what I need you to understand is this: we got the secret. We know what's real. We got the proof. We understand the mystery is this: you will do who you know you are. So we keep talking about who we are in Christ Jesus, because lo and behold, we act like him, because we know we are him. See, that haven't you found that in your own life too? I find myself doing and doing things that I wasn't able to do before. I've come into this understanding, and now I'm solid in this place called in Christ Jesus. See, it becomes automatic because it is now our DNA. Oh, I know who I am. And what I mean by that, I mean this. See, yeah, I'm just giving you an example, seeing how I am the example here. I got to give you another story. Just recently, not too long ago, I was happy about a thing that had happened, because the Lord said, the Lord had shown me like a few years ago, this thing would happen. Well, see, listen, the devil stepped in. Flesh and the devil stepped in and thwarted that thing, threw that thing off. And then I got word that this is not going to happen. And as a matter of fact, it's your fault. It was told to me that it's my fault that this thing is not going to happen. See, now there was some years ago, a little time ago, before I came into the knowledge of the truth of who I am in Jesus Christ, I may have accepted that, like, oh man, I'm sorry. And my prayer would have been something like, oh Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry, I messed up, but oh Lord, would you please, and what do we do now? And, before. But I got to tell you something. Oh, I'm very happy about this. I got to tell you something. My prayer was different. My prayer was a prayer of faith. See, a prayer of faith said what? God, I know what you said. I know what you said. I know what you told me. God, I know what you told me. So I stand before God in this economy of grace, recognizing who I am in Christ Jesus. See, I'm the ambassador of Christ, and it is in my mouth to make this thing happen. So I stood before an almighty God, and I said, yes, it will happen. In the name of Jesus, it shall happen. It doesn't matter what it looks like now, but God, I thank you that this thing shall happen in Jesus' name. Well, I know who I am. I know I'm the
Preach.
Mouthpiece of God here in the earth.
Preach.
I recognize who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm the representative of the one who left us here to take dominion over this land and over the things of God and the things that he's created. See, I know who I am. I know I got to call it in prayer. And what I do, he sends angels. He sends the armies of angels to make it happen and get it done. See, I know who I am. And see, we do those things that we know we are. Will I keep preaching it? I'm going to keep preaching it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to keep preaching it. I am. Oh, it's easy for us. And it can even appeal more to our flesh to hear over and over again a message about what you got to do, what you got to do. It appeals to our flesh and it causes us now to start operating in that law of do it yourself. See, but when we turn our face to God and we recognize who we are in him, now we just simply do who he made us to be. Glory to God. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. So our prayers change. Our walk change. Our love walk change. Because we in Christ, walking in the liberty of grace, where God's ability comes alive in us right where we need it. See? Oh, glory to God. That's who we are. Children of God, that's who we are. We are the sons of God being led by the Spirit of God. We don't take a list of rules and laws to follow that list of rules and laws. But is the list good? The list is good. The list has its own glory. However, from my story on Sunday, and I won't go over it again, but that story on Sunday, what we found is when we have that list, we still need to submit it to God. Submit it to God. If not, then we're operating out of self according to the list of this is how you ought to do this. This is how you got to do this. The list is good now, but this is God, you got to do it this way. It's these scriptures right here. You got to go over there. You got to kneel at 6 o'clock in the morning. The instruction is good. But what happens if you miss it? Do you feel like you failed? Does it bring on condemnation? If it does, then you're governing yourself. See, listen. As 2 Corinthians chapter 3 points out, the law itself, the list themselves, they have a glory. Meaning what? They have a purpose. They do. As those of the doors of the church are coming in the doors, listen, we're going to need some regulation for these folk. We're going to need some list for these people because they have to grow up. See, children need lists. Children need instruction. Children need guidance. So we're going to give them that guidance, but always pointing them though to the Holy Spirit who is to lead them. They'll grow up in that. And as they do, we will release them to recognize and understand. Oh my God. Sons of God being led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Our ability is God through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I pray. I know Holy Spirit is going to bring to your mind some areas where we've been operating in the do-it-yourself. And it may not even be all the time. And see, let's be clear. Condemnation has no place with the children of God. No place whatsoever. So whatever he may bring up to you, let's not waste time with condemnation. We're surrendering it tonight to the Lord. And we're going to do that in the way in which the Lord has shown us. Oh, he'll take our mess and he'll wash us and clean us. He'll refresh us and he'll touch us in our time of worship and our time of praise unto the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, if you will, we're going to enter into that time now. And let me be clear with the instruction. Now, right here, the Lord wants to do something. He wants to wash the residue of self. Do it yourself. The law of self. He wants to wash that today. Wash it away from us. Oh, it's still process, all of it. You know, our entire lives in Christ is a process. That's why verse 18 says, from glory to glory, because that glory to glory speaks of the process. But to the measure of the level of grace in which we stand, we desire more, Lord. Glory to God. All right, so as we normally do, we'll allow someone, one of our brothers and sisters who's anointed to do this, to sing unto the Lord, to lead us into this time of worship with the Lord. And then I'm going to ask you now, if you would you unmute yourself now as we even go into the song? See, worship doesn't have to stop or start after the song. It doesn't have to. It can start now if you will unmute yourself now. And so we're going to do this song, which is 4 minutes long. And then we're going to enter into our own words before the Lord and worship him as he is washing us and making us clean. And then I have an announcement for us after that. All right. Praise God.
It's good. Come on, lift up praise for God today. Hallelujah. We bless your name today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Blessing, glory, and honor. Glory and honor to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, lift those holy hands to a holy God this morning. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Yes.
We love you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Glory and honor.
Glory and honor.
Glory and honor to your name.
Glory and honor to your name.
We give you glory.
Glory and honor.
Honor to we've come to lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up our hearts to him in prayer. For that's
power. His name.
Can we just sing that one more time?
Oh God. Yes.
Yes.
Lord, we give you glory and honor. Glory and honor to your
name.
Glory and honor to
God.
Is anybody come this morning to lift up?
Yes, to your name, Lord.
The precious name of Jesus.
Jesus, thank you for your name given to us.
We've come to lift up our hearts to
yes, Lord.
Yes. Let's call on Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you.
Milo, you're Milo. Yes, God. Personal, personally mine. Thank you, Lord. And everything that you are. And everything that you are. Belong to you. And I belong to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we bless
thank
you.
Lord.
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, your name. Come on, the same name, Lord. The same name.
We bless you, Jesus.
The same name that healed, Lord. You're the same. The same one that opened blinded eyes, God. You're the same name. It's the same name that fed over 5,000. You're the same name. You're the same name, Lord, that caused Peter to walk on the water. You're the same name. It's the same name. And that name belonged to us, Lord, and we worship you. My Lord,
yes,
my Lord, my Savior, my own, my lover, yes. You're mine, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Thank Hallelujah you, to the name, to our name. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you tonight, God. Oh, the refresher of our souls, Lord, the cleanser of our souls. We thank you tonight, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. We glorify you, my Lord Jesus. God, we declare, we declare, we declare. There isn't anything or anyone else in this world that has been able to match you. And therefore, now our desire for you, Lord, is overwhelming. We find ourselves running after you and running after you and running after you some more. Oh, hallelujah to God. You fill us to overflowing, and we find, Lord, that we still want more of you. More, more of you, Lord. More of how you look and more of how you talk and more of how you do and more, Lord. We surrender our God. Andero Bayegeri. Yes, demandanda rakaseke. Ayasekera basiki. Yes, God. Oh Lord, your economy of grace is never ending for us. Lord, we go deeper and we run further. And Lord, we seek for more to operate, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ah, God.
Thank you, Lord.
The economy of your grace. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. And every day of our lives, we find ourselves endeavoring to rest.
Our lives.
To trust. Rely.
Yeah.
In every area of our lives, Lord, when you call us to go minister, when you call us to lay hands, when you call us to call a thing in the earth, Lord God, we remember who we are in you, and our expectation rises to the roof because we know and found out that our God is faithful, faithful to perform. Oh God.
Yes.
We worship you, Lord. We never grow tired of being close to you. We draw near to you, and we found out in your word.
Thank you, Lord.
By experience, we know you draw near to us. You fill our souls, Lord. You fill our mortal bodies, God, with your presence, Lord. And we fall down before you, and we worship you. Our eyes fill with tears, Lord, because you're near unto us. And we recognize your love, oh, my God. My God, your love is never ending. Lord, in our frail selves, in our silly selves at times, and Lord, in our messed up ourselves at times. We get to turn away from that and call ourselves the righteousness of God. And sometimes, Lord, we wonder, how can you still use us? But then as we look to the economy of grace and we recognize that we're living by your ability and not by our own, we worship you.
Jesus.
Oh, my Lord, we worship you.
Yes, we do, God.
My God.
Yes, we do.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
We worship you. We magnify you.
Of every area of do-it-yourself.
For there is none like you.
Pick it off.
Lord, we don't want to be spiritual DIYers. We don't want to do it.
Yes.
There's such a greater glory, Lord, when we allow you to do it.
Yes,
wash us, oh God.
Yes.
From the residue. Wash us, Lord God. From the residue. We don't want to love ourselves. We don't want to take care of ourselves. Lord. We don't want to know so much that we don't turn to you, Lord.
Yes.
We don't want to be so strong that we think we can do it on our own, Lord. Wash us, oh God. Wash us, oh God.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Your perfect will.
Jesus.
Oh,
in my life. Oh.
We don't know the way.
In the name of Jesus.
We don't even know what to say. God. We don't know what to do without you. But oh Lord, when we surrender, when we surrender, when we surrender, Lord, when we surrender.
You're mine, Lord.
We don't know what's best for ourselves. We don't know what the future holds. Oh God, but when we surrender, Lord, when we surrender.
Surrender myself.
Oh, you cause our existence to be glorious. And the world looks at us in wonder. Oh, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be? Oh, God, but then the life of our Lord Jesus Christ comes alive in us. Lord, Lord. We turn away from condemnation. We turn away from the ministration of death. We turn away from do it ourselves, Lord. Oh, God, to you. You strengthen us to look in their face as they laugh at us. You strengthen us, Lord, to keep walking in your way when they laugh at us. When they tell us we're being impractical. When they tell us we're being irresponsible. Lord, we look to your ability to keep walking. When we can't find another pattern, Lord, the way you're calling us to go, Lord God, we look to you, Lord. We know you know and you understand and we know, God, as we surrender, we surrender our lives to you, Lord. Let our egos die, my God. Let our pride die, Lord God. Let our status die, oh God.
Nothing we have
that we may be free in the economy of grace.
Yes.
Let our fears die, Lord. That we be free in the economy of grace.
Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
let our culture pride die.
Yes, Father.
Lord.
In the name of
let our educational pride die. God. We can't know enough to match or come close to the knowledge and the wisdom of God that you are for us.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Let our feelings die.
Yes.
Let our temperaments die.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes, Father.
Oh God. When we stand in the face of our feelings hurt, oh, we'll cry out and say, and I live by God's ability. When they treat us like we're dirt, God, and we can't even open our mouths to defend ourselves. Oh God, we live by your ability. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Wash us tonight, Lord. Wash us as we surrender to you. We surrender it all. God, we surrender, Lord. Lord Jesus, we surrender. We surrender. Oh, Lord. We surrender. Oh, we surrender, God. Lord. We surrender. Oh, God. Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Paulo.
In Jesus.
We surrender.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We surrender.
Thank you for your good.
As we surrender, yes, our better judgments,